So we are going to talk about least squares. You've been facing the topic with Professor Bevilacqua in the last weeks. I will give an optimization point of view, strictly optimization point of view of the case he showed you, and then I will try to give you insights on more general least squares problems. Okay? In which the residuals are nonlinear, and we will see what this means exactly. So, let me just summarize. The starting point is a rectangular linear system. So you have a matrix A with m rows and n columns, and generally m is greater or equal than n. You have a vector B in Rn. You would like to solve the linear system Ax equal B, but it may happen, in particular when m is greater than n, that this linear system does not have any solution. So, the so-called least square technique is based on this idea. If I cannot solve the system exactly, let's try to find an x in Rn which minimizes the distance of the vector Ax from the vector B. Please. So let's use norm 2. So I want to find, I want to solve this optimization problem. Minimize the norm of Ax minus B over the whole space Rn. Okay? First remark, this is an unconstrained optimization problem. So we already developed algorithms for solving this type of optimization problem. We are interested in the x. We are always interested in the x. What? I mean, when you have the x, you also have the value. Okay. Since the norm is a function which is not everywhere differentiable, a trick is not to solve actually this problem, but to take the square of the norm. The problem is absolutely equivalent, because the norm is always greater or equal than zero. Taking the square is the square is an increasing function on positive numbers. So the minima of this problem and the minima of the problem where you don't take the square are exactly the same one. Okay? The values are obviously, the optimal values are obviously different because one is the square of the other. Okay? And just to simplify computation, you can add 1/2 here. It doesn't affect the problem because you are rescaling the values. Okay. So this is actually the form in which the problem is considered. And I want to convince you why this is a good idea. I already mentioned you that in this way, this objective function, let's call it f at x, to be 1/2 the square of the norm of the vector Ax minus B.
Which type of function is this? Yes, this is a quadratic function. Indeed, we can develop the full computation, so
it is 1 half the scalar product of ax minus b with itself. So, I develop all the computation, and what you get? Ax times ax times minus b, and so on. What you get is 1 half x transpose ax
minus
a transpose b transpose x plus 1 half b transpose b. This is what you get if you develop here the computation. There's not 1 half here because these terms appear twice. Okay? When you do ax times minus b, and when you do minus b times ax. Okay? They're exactly the same scalar product, so it is counted twice, and the two erases with this 1 half. So, indeed,
this is a quadratic function.
This is the matrix of second-order coefficients.
This is the
coefficients of the first-order terms. Okay,
and this is a constant value, which actually we don't care about minimizing because this is constant. Okay. But this is the form, so this is a quadratic function. So generally we call this matrix Q and this vector B, okay, actually including the minus. And we know from computation we have done in the past that the gradient of this function is this matrix times x plus the first order term, so the gradient is A transpose AX minus A transpose B, and the action matrix is the matrix of the second of the coefficients of the second order term, so it is A transpose A. Okay? And we know that a function is convex if and only this matrix is positive semi-definite at any point. Since we are dealing with a quadratic function, the matrix does not depend actually on the point. So this function f is convex if and only if this matrix is positive semi-definite. Okay? Is it so? The answer is yes, because we want to check if this is positive semi-definite. We just compute this function A transpose the x transpose the matrix x, and if this is greater or equal than 0 for any x, this is the matrix here is positive semi-definite. But this, if you want to see, is nothing else than ax times ax. Okay? So this is nothing but the square of the norm of the vector ax. And so this is always greater equal than 0. Okay? This is true because the matrix has this peculiar structure. Okay? It is let's say, this matrix is m times m, this matrix is m times
n, so this matrix here is n times n. Okay?
So, this function is quadratic and convex. So we are dealing with a convex optimization problem. Unconstrained convex optimization problem. So we do know that local and global minima coincide, and we know that they are the stationary points. So solving this problem is equivalent to asking for the gradient of f to be zero. And what is the gradient of f equals zero? It means that this quantity is zero. So it means that A transpose A f is equal to A transpose B. Okay? So the minima of these convex optimization problems are exactly the solution of this system, of this linear system, which you should know. Okay? Professor Bevilacqua showed you this system. This is the system of normal equation. Okay? So, the so-called normal equation. Okay, he used the matrices with complex entries. Okay, the entries of the matrix, the elements of the matrix were complex numbers. So we deal with optimization. We need to focus our attention on matrices whose elements are real numbers. Okay, so you have seen this with H here rather than P. Okay, but in the real case they are exactly the same thing because you don't have to take permittivity because you don't have the complex part of the number. So I've shown you what Professor Bevilacqua showed you in a different way. He told you that solving the least square problem is actually solving this system. Okay? It's equivalent to solving this system. And this comes actually from optimization. Because these are the stationary points of this quadratic and convex function all over the full space. Okay? He used different techniques to show you this equivalent. Okay, so here you present it to say x is a minimum point here, if and only if this chain of equalities. Professor Bevilacqua also proved you that that the system has a solution. Okay? At least one solution. And I'm going to show you it again from a pure optimization point of view. What is? Up to now I did not make any real assumption on M. On A, sorry. Okay? I just told you that this is interesting when m is greater or equal than n. Okay? But everything I've told you up to now does not depend on this. Okay? M could also be smaller than n, and all this analysis is still valid. Okay? I'm going to use this now. Okay? So the working assumption you have seen up to now is that A has maximum rank Okay?
And this rank is equal to m, which implies clearly that m is equal to n, which implies that m is greater or equal than n. Okay? This is the working assumption you have.
Maximum rank equals maximum both maximum rank and the fact that the maximum rank is n.
So I'm going to use this now, okay? N is greater or equal than n, and A has maximum rank. Why?
Because we have this.
Ax is equal to 0, the 0 vector, if and only if x is the 0 vector. Okay? When A is a maximum rank matrix with more rows than columns, the kernel is made just by the zero vector. Okay? And why is this interesting? This is interesting here. Okay? Because if now, under that assumption, if x is different from zero, then x times A transpose AX, which is equal to the square of the norm of AX, is positive. So, under this assumption, not only this matrix is positive semi-definite, but actually it is positive definite. Okay? From an optimization point of view, this means that F is strongly convex. It's both strictly and strongly convex because for quadratic function the two concepts are the same. So we are actually minimizing a strongly convex function over the full space. And I spend some time to prove you that strongly convex functions have exactly a unique minimum. Okay? Strictly convex functions have at most one minimum point. Strongly convex function have exactly one minimum point. So the minimum exists and it is unique. Okay? So under this assumption, the solution of this problem exists and it is unique. Okay? Professor Bevilacqua exploited different tools to prove this. Okay? Different tools from linear algebra. But you can see it in an optimization fashion. Because indeed, the least square problem is actually an optimization problem, and Professor Bevilacqua showed you a few techniques to solve this problem, different, which are different from the techniques of optimization. This is an unconstrained optimization problem. You could use the gradient method, you could use Newton method, you could use the conjugate gradient method to solve it. But Professor Bevilacqua showed you also other methods based on QR decomposition, based on the singular value decomposition, and also I think he spoke about conjugate gradient. Yes, Steve. Okay. Actually, this problem is generally known as the linear least square problem. Okay? But this may sound strange to you, because actually here we are dealing with a quadratic optimization problem.
not a linear optimization problem. We don't have linear functions here. Okay? So where does linear come from? Okay, let's rewrite this function also in another way. So we know that this function is 1/2 the square of the norm of this vector. Okay? If we write the matrix A in this way, where A1, A2, and up to AM are the rows of the matrix, okay? This vector, AX minus B, is the vector whose components are A1X minus B1 up to AMX minus BN. Okay? And this is the scalar product between the between vector A1 and X. Okay? So that when you write the norm of a vector, the norm of a vector is the square of the norm of a vector is the sum of the square of the components. Okay? So this is the sum over j from 1 to n of AJX minus BJ squared. Okay? And these terms here the base of the square are indeed linear terms. Okay? Because this is a vector of coefficients, this is the vector x, and this is the number. So this is linear. Not the problem itself, but the basis of the squares. Okay? And indeed, this is known as the problem of linear least squares. The squares are here, and the linear terms are this one. Okay? And the idea is that I would like all of them to be as small as possible. And indeed, the terms here, the basis, are also called residuals. I would like all of them to be zero, in such a way that I solve the linear system. And my technique is to minimize the sum of their squares. Okay? If you want to see in another fashion, I cannot minimize them because I don't know if they are positive or negative, each of them. But if I take this square, they are all greater or equal than zero. Is this clear? Because this is the basis of what we are going to do today. Okay? I will not spend more time on the so-called linear least square problem. I would devote the lecture to the non-linear least square problem. And the non-linear problem is when you take non-linear residuals. So,
rather than having this problem here, I'm going to consider a slightly different one. So, if I rewrite this, that one, with this expression here, I'm minimizing these quantities. A more general problem. Rather than minimize the squares of linear residual, I will consider generic nonlinear function here. Okay? So my problem, we have n function, L1, let's say function Rj from Rn to R, which in general are nonlinear. The linear case is just the case in which these functions have this form, a, j, x minus bj. Okay? So that the linear problem is a particular case of nonlinear problem. Okay? So, the lecture today will be devoted to the study of this optimization problem here. Okay? Replacing the linear residuals with nonlinear ones. Okay? The concept behind is not different. I want these functions, all these functions Rj, all these residuals to be as small as possible. Okay? I would like all of them to be zero. Okay? So to do this, I'm minimizing the sum of their squares. Okay? And on Tuesday, I will show you a few applications of this. Okay? So today we are going to face the theoretical side, and on Tuesday the applications. Somehow I could stop here because this is, once again, an unconstrained optimization problem, so that we have gradient, conjugate gradient, Newton, all these methods to solve this problem. Okay? So, we could stop here and go to lunch. The point is that gradient, conjugate gradient, Newton method are for generic functions. These functions have a particular structure. Okay? They are the sum of squares of functions. Okay? So the idea is, could we develop something more specific? Some algorithms which take care, which exploit this particular structure of the objective function. Okay? So, in a sense, can we do something better rather than applying a generic method? Can we develop a method which in this case is more, let's say, efficient than a generic method? Okay. And as I'm going to show you, actually we are going to specialize and modify a little bit the techniques we have seen up to now. And we will merge somehow together gradient and Newton. So, from now on, I can simply think that we are going to minimize all over the full space this function f here. One half the sum all over j of rj x squared. Okay? And let's use the most simple framework. Let's suppose that the functions rj are twice continuously differentiable. Okay? So this is, we want to minimize the function all over the blue space under this strong differentiability assumption here. Okay? In this way, we can discuss both gradients and Newton altogether without taking care of differences. Okay, I need to give you some boring calculations because I want to know the gradient of this function and I want to know the corresponding Hessian matrix. Okay? The computation of the gradient is pretty easy because let's just focus on one of the terms, okay? Because this gradient is one half the sum of the gradient of the gradients of these functions here. Okay? So it's enough to compute the gradient of one of the residual functions. If you want, this can be considered as the composition of function rj with a function of one variable which is taking the square, okay? This function at t is t squared, okay? And we know that this function has a derivative. Its derivative is 2 times t. And we know by the chain rule that the gradient of this function is nothing else than the derivative of t computed at rj times the gradient of rj. Okay? This is the application of the chain rule we discussed in the background lectures at the beginning of the semester. So, and this is telling you this is 2 times rj the gradient of rj. Okay? Now, you plug it here, the 2 goes away with this 1 half. So, the role of this 1 half here is just to make computation easier. You don't have to bring a 2 with you everywhere. So, 2 and 2 erases, and this becomes the sum from j to 1 of rj x, the gradient of rj.
Before going to the computation of the action, let me introduce a notation in such a way that we can write this stuff in a more compact way. Okay? So, we can consider capital R x, the function from Rn to Rm whose components are the residuals. Okay. So, R is a function from Rn to Rm. Okay. The function whose components are the residuals Rj. Okay. And this is a vector function. We can consider the corresponding Jacobian matrix. Okay. The Jacobian matrix is the matrix whose rows are the derivatives, are the gradients of the components. Okay. So, it is this matrix here. Okay. So it's the matrix whose generic element is the derivative of RE with respect to XJ. So this is the Jacobian matrix. Of capital R. Why did I introduce this? Well, see here you have this stuff. Take the transpose of the Jacobian matrix. This is the matrix whose columns are the gradients of the residual functions. And here you are taking the gradient of the first time of the first function times this coefficient L1. Plus the gradient of the R2 times R2. And so on till the gradient of Rm times Rm. Okay? So this is, if you make, is the product of the transpose of the Jacobian and the vector R. Okay? If you write it this way, you have this. Okay. So the this vector here is the sum of these vectors with these coefficients. So you have written. We have written the gradient in a matrix form. Okay? I mean, it's a matrix times a vector. We need to compute the action matrix. And this is indeed a boring calculation. I just give you the starting point of the computation, and then you can check it on the lecture notes. The best way to do this is to compute a single element of this matrix. A generic element. So, to compute, for instance, the element
KL. Okay?
The element KL of this matrix. And what is this? Well, this is the matrix of second order derivatives. So, this is the second order derivative of that with respect to xl first and xk afterwards computed at x. Okay?
And this is it.
And the second order derivative is the derivative with respect to x k of the derivative with respect to x.
And the derivative with respect to x l is
exactly the L component of this vector here. Okay? And the L component, you see, is the sum all over j from 1 to m of rj, which are numbers and coefficients, and here we must take the L component of this vector. The L component is nothing but the derivative with respect to x, because this vector is the derivative. Okay? And now you should do the derivative of each of these terms. Okay? And just saying that the derivative of the sum is the sum of the derivatives. And this comes the boring part, because here each term is the product of two functions. So you must do the derivative of the first times the other function plus the first function times the derivative of the second. Okay? And this is where I stop. Then you keep going on, simply computing each of these derivatives of the product of two functions. Notice, when you take the derivative of Rj, you take the first order derivative of Rj. When you take the derivative of this other term, you come up with the second order derivative of Rj. I stop here and I give you the result, because if you manage, I'm just keeping two lines, no more than that, you will get an ugly expression, but if you use matrices, this expression amounts to the Jacobian matrix of R transpose times the Jacobian matrix itself plus the sum from j equal to 1 to m of rj, the Hessian matrix of the residual function rj. Okay? So, you keep going on with computing this derivative of products, and then you will find out that what you get can be summarized this way. And remember, here we are just computing an element, so you should show that the KL element of this matrix is exactly what comes out from this
computation of the derivative.
So, let me simply summarize here in the way we are interested. This is our problem.
So that this is our function f.
Its gradient is this quantity here. The Hessian matrix is this other quantity here.
Okay. Now we take a 5 minutes break,
just 5 minutes, and then we will exploit this information to develop algorithms. We know gradient, we know Newton, we have the gradient, we have the Hessian matrix, so we have every tool we need.